Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances, present.
"30 Minutes in Hollywood," starring George Jessel, and the guest appearance of the sensational St. Brendan's Choristers under the direction of Robert Mitchell and Ralph Byrd, creator on the screen of the famous detective Dick Tracy, with Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and the wonder child Josephine Starr.
Tommy Tucker and his boys open George Jessel's office in Hollywood with Sweet Varsity Sue from Life Begins in College.
Jessel, 30 Minutes in Hollywood, Inc. This Nick Dopey talking. What? You say you want to come up and punch Mr. Jessel on the nose? He isn't in, I'm sorry. Besides, there's two ahead of you. Goodbye. Hello? Jessel, 30 Minutes in Hollywood, Inc. Who? His mother. Do you know him personally? Oh, ain't I the dope? Just a minute. I'll call him. Mr. Jessel!
Hello? Hello, Mom. What's going on? What? Aunt Mary? Well, for heaven's sake. Well, what do you think of that? Little Aunt Mary after all these years. Oh, my goodness. I bet Grandma's excited, huh? When was it, Mom? At 5 o'clock this morning. Some rumpus, huh, Ma? What, two? Well, how is she feeling? Oh, that's fine. I must tell that to the audience. Folks, my Aunt Mary got two fingers caught in the door. 5 o'clock. What's doing? Willie's music teacher is a dope? What makes you say that? Willie says the teacher asked some crazy questions. What crazy questions does the music teacher ask, Mother? Something about how many vegetables in a quart? No, you probably got it mixed up. No, it's probably how many beats to a measure. That's what he's probably saying. Yeah, you call me back later in the program. Yes, I'm going to say it. You keep listening. You'll hear it. Miss McDopey, what did the bank say about the $20,000 I want to borrow?
Oh, they said they can't let you have it.
They can't. Tell them never mind. I'll get it from one of the waiters at the Trocadero. My friends, we're certainly living in a crazy age. In this kaleidoscopic world we live in, everything is topsy-turvy, topsy-turvy. People used to come to work in the morning and punch time clocks. Now they punch their bosses. People come from the country to work in the city so they can earn enough money to live in the country. The fellow who walks yells at the fellow in motor cars as if he owns the street. The folks who ride in motor cars yell at the fellow who walks as if they own the car. It's a crazy, topsy-turvy world. In Japan, General Wadamitsuya wants a piece of China. How do you like that? In China, General Fang Shenun wants to be left alone. It's a topsy-turvy world, my friend. The hotels out here in California are starting hiring girls for bellhops. Looks like a big season for ice water. It's a topsy-turvy world. And yet there's a great deal of happiness in it, particularly for me this day. You folks perhaps have read about my wife, Norma Talmadge, being rushed to a hospital a few days ago, and I've just received word that she's doing fine and out of danger, so it's not such a bad little world after all.
The crazy buddy for syncopation and a Yankee Doodle band. And from Budapest to the Isle of Haiti, they want the best tootin', that's why they demand a Yankee Doodle band. And our
salute to the original Yankee Doodle Boy. Here's to the most beloved song and dance man in all the world, George M. Cohan. He's a Yankee Doodle dandy, Yankee Doodle do or die. Real live nephew of his Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. Yankee Doodle came to town, so help me Sam H. Harris. Here's to the Yankee Doodle Boy. And so from Rio to Asia Minor, they all agree that there's nothing finer than a Yankee Doodle Sam. Ladies and gentlemen, I now take you to the happy home of Mr. and Mrs. Sandy McJessel, where happiness and generosity are only two more words in the dictionary. I play the part of Sandy McJessel, and Mrs. McJessel will be played by a lovely star of the screen, whom it was my privilege to appear with when she was not quite 4 years of age. Cuddles, they called her then. It was a long time ago. I don't know what they called me, so we'll skip it. Anyway, I present Miss Lila Lee. Good morning, Lila. Good morning.
Hi, Sandy.
And tell me, what have you got to dinner tonight, my bunny lassie?
Oh, Sandy, they're having a wonderful sale on dresses at my Goldfarb.
Dresses? I've no time for dresses. I haven't got a cent. The market got me.
What market?
The fish market.
Oh, Sandy, the dress costs practically nothing.
Oh, such extravagance. All you have to do all day is to sit home and think about clothes, clothes, clothes.
Well, you're not going to deny me a little thinking, are you?
Listen, lass, the only thing I'm putting out right now is my breath, and I'm pulling that right back.
You never buy me anything, Sandy. Look at this coat. I've been wearing it for 5 years.
Tis a lie, tis a lie. You've had it 7 years. And what's wrong with it? You can get a couple of more years out of it and then have it dyed. Look at me. I bought this hat 6 years ago. Had it cleaned once, exchanged it twice in the cafeteria, and it's still as good as new. And you're kicking about clothes. What do you do with all your clothes, anyhow?
All my clothes. I'll tell you what I do with them. I hang them up carefully over a chair every night, and then put them on again in the morning. That's what I do with all my clothes.
Aye.
When we were courting, all you ever did was whisper sweet nothings in my ear. And since we've been married, all you've ever given me is an argument.
Aye, you're lucky to be getting that.
Oh, Sandy, if you could only see this dress. It's the very latest thing. A simple tailored slate gray dress with a red zipper running right down the front from the neckline to the hem. A Peter Pan collar and a narrow red patent leather belt. Oh, it's beautiful. I wish you could see it.
Well, how much did you say it cost?
Practically nothing.
Well, you take out the practically and it's a deal.
Sandy, if you don't buy me that dress, I'm going to disgrace you.
Disgrace me and how?
I'll walk down Hollywood Boulevard to the post office in my undies.
Oh, my lass, you wouldn't do that.
Oh, yes, I would.
Do you really mean it?
I certainly do.
Good. Well, while you're about it, mail this letter for me. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you our 7-year-old prize-winning prima donna, who was this week awarded a gold trophy for her outstanding performance, Little Miss Josephine Starr.
Bright birds of June, oh, light birds of June, away on sweet, away on sea. Bright birds of June are trailing their tongue, away on sweet, on of love on June. Now the rumor, rumor goes on to her, is it fair to Thank you.
You still have time before Thanksgiving to have a new Gaffers and Sattler automatic gas range installed in your kitchen. Your best guarantee for a delightfully prepared and properly cooked Thanksgiving turkey is to replace that old-fashioned obsolete stove with a beautiful new labor-saving automatic Gaffers and Sattler gas range, the finest gas range ever built. Ask your Gaffers and Sattler dealer tomorrow to demonstrate the many advantages of this latest scientific cooking equipment. Find out for yourself about its many convenient features, such as the Econo Flame Burner, automatic oven lighting, and the automatic cooking clock that makes it possible for you to cook a whole meal while you're away from home. It starts the oven and shuts off the gas at any given time. These gas ranges are built in California and are designed to utilize the full benefit of California's natural gas, the modern and economical fuel. And remember, each range carries the guarantee of Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances.
Jessel, can I see you all important for a minute?
Well, sour my cream and fly my brinzas if it ain't old sweetie pie herself, Amy Arnell. Tell me, what you want, honey child?
Well, I don't want to complain, Mr. Jessel, but I've been losing things around here every week.
Losing things?
And now I've done missed my fraternity pin. My sugar pie gave it to me, and I treasure that so highly.
Oh, well, don't you worry about it, Amy. Ralph Byrd is here tonight, and if anybody can solve that mystery, he can. For he is none other than the famous screen detective who is admired by millions and loved by youngsters throughout the world, Dick Tracy.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Say, Dick, let me congratulate you on the way that you cleaned up that gas house gang in your last picture. How you ever found that leader's hideout is amazing.
Oh, it's nothing, George.
It's nothing. Kills 21 gangsters with one hand, shoots 40 thieves with a knife. By him, that's nothing, huh? Incidentally, Dick, you know, you're a little late getting here today.
I know, George. I know, I couldn't find my car.
Uh-huh. He's going to find a fraternity pin. He can't find the car. But as long as you're here, we're having a little trouble that you may be able to solve. One of the girls, little Amy Arnell, lost a fraternity pin about 10 minutes ago, and I want to tell you something. She's brokenhearted.
A fraternity pin?
Hmm.
I'll solve that in a jiffy. Don't anybody make a move. Everybody stand right where you are.
Wait a minute. You're only a guest here, not the landlord. Here.
You pipe down. I'll handle this.
Okay.
Now, let me see. Little fraternity pin, where can you be hiding now?
Oh, I bet he juggles besides, too, huh?
Who's that girl over there? She looks suspicious.
No. That's Amy. She's the girl who lost the pin.
I can't help that. I don't trust anybody.
Neither do I. I don't trust anybody here but you and me, and I'm not so sure about me. But look, Dick, you don't think she'd steal the pin from herself, do you?
Oh, forget it. That's immaterial and irrelevant.
That's right, and irrelevant never forgets. I know that stuff, yeah.
Incidentally, Jessel, where were you 10 minutes ago?
Well, don't look at me that way. I had nothing to do with this. 10 minutes ago, I was on page 4 with Lila Lee. Here's the manuscript. You see for yourself.
Jessel, are you a college man?
Well, in a way.
What college?
Yale.
You mean Yale.
Well, you speak with a dialect, I guess.
Speak with a dialect? How did you get along at jail?
Oh, I got along swell. The warden and I were such great pals, he called me by my first two numbers. Oh, it was great.
Is that a southern jail?
Southern jail? No.
Then what's this fraternity pin doing behind the lapel of your coat?
My fraternity pin.
Oh, my goodness, this is terrible. There must be some mistake. If Cantor hears about this, I'm a ruined man.
Here's your pin, miss, and in the future, be careful who you associate with. And as for you, Jessel, you cheap crook, you'll get 20 years for this. If I had my way, you'd get life. You're a menace to society. Take him away, men. But, George, before you go, will you give me an autograph for Junior?
Oh, what a relief. I was frightened there for a minute.
I had you going there for a minute, didn't I, George?
You sure did. Tell me, how did you know where the fraternity pin was?
Well, it was all elementary, George. I just figured if I was a fraternity pin, where would I be? So I looked there, and there I was.
That's so. You know how to switch jokes, too. I can see that.
I framed this whole thing up myself, George. I'm afraid you'd never make a very good crook. Besides, you're easy prey for anybody. Just to show you how easy you are to get, George, Here's your wallet.
Oh, thank you very, very much. And thanks, Dick, for coming over. And before you go, here's your watch.
Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest group of boys singers it has ever been my privilege to hear. 20 voices of boys from 8 to 14 years of age. Under the direction of Robert Bostwick Mitchell from the parochial school in Los Angeles, I bring you St. Brendan's Choristers. One of these youngsters is a little colored lad, Robert Crowley. How old are you, Robert?
I'm 13.
Is that so? Well, now, son, I want you to remember this. After that beautiful hymn that you boys sang the other day at rehearsal, you made a little mistake. You see, you must say at the end, amen, not yeah, man. Well, you're all swell, and you make a wonderful picture up here, too. The St. Brennan's choristers will now sing Ailey, Ailey.
Thank you.
There must be a good reason for the ever-increasing popularity of the Gaffers and Sattler circulating gas heater. Each day, thousands of Californians are being introduced to the comfort and convenience of a properly heated home. Gaffers and Sattler circulating gas heaters are beautiful in design and fit into any decorative scheme. They are finished in durable porcelain enamel and trimmed in triple-plated chromium. Explain your heating problems to your Gaffers and Sattler dealer tomorrow. He will be glad to show you the exact size you need and will demonstrate the many advantages of this type of circulating gas heater. There is a Gaffers and Sattler circulating gas heater to meet every heating condition, from a single room to the entire house, and in a range of prices surprisingly low. Every heater is guaranteed by Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances.
Hello, Mom. Say, how do you like the show so far? Oh, you do? Well, I'm glad. You what? You thought Sam Bernstein's choir was great? No. St. Brendan's choir. It's not Sam Bernstein. Look, how's Anna? Say, what's going to be with that fella of hers? Is he working yet? He's mad at me? Why? He says I stopped his ambition. Well, of course, I gave him everything. Oh, clothes, shoes, hats, socks, and shirts. He said if I didn't give him so many things, he'd have been something by now. He'd have been a nudist. That's what he'd have been, yeah. Well, you hold a wire, Mom, because I got some work to do. And now, folks, 30 Minutes in Hollywood presents Little Bo Peeps, the gay caballeros of the keyhole. First, Fiddling Jessel, who will bring you every once in a while a worm's eye view of the people who describe the people in movie land, the critic of the critics. Down through the years, Hollywood has been the target for all sorts of gossipers, tattlers, busybodies in general. Today, movie land is badgered by a new species, the microphoniac, whose motto is, if you can't say anything good about anybody, be sure and broadcast it. You will also whisper in your ear the big secret that Joe Hoosis and Molly Watts are being married in strict confidence next week. But don't tell anybody. The bride wants a surprise, her mother. It's all good fun, and I don't see any harm in it myself. But if they can dish it out, maybe they ought to be able to take it a little. And here's an open letter to Jimmy Fiddler. Dear Jimmy, I'm a good friend of yours, and I feel that I have the right to speak my mind and vice versa. You must remember that you're in the country's eye, Jimmy. Week before last, however, I think you're a little bit out of order. You had a closing remark that you yourself wouldn't give anybody half a bell for. So I'll be more charitable. For the same sour note that you finished with, I'll give you half of a green persimmon. Quote, some of the movie directors should be directing traffic, and some of the traffic cops should be directing pictures. End quote. Well, Jimmy, there are a bunch of swell directors directing good pictures out here, and a lot of good traffic cops are directing traffic and preventing accidents. But it's about time that maybe somebody started directing the accidents that turn out to be commentators. And now a few notes from my little blank book, Seriously, Jiminy, and this goes for the folks in your racket who are not playing the game fairly. You have no right to tear down the other fella's product to advertise the one the Cure is selling. The career of a movie star is a product of the company he or she is working for, and their private lives are their own. They are not public property to be stared at like a billboard of an advertised commodity. And you dare not say, Jimmy, that Miss So-and-so was doing the high spots last night, and it's going to be tough on the picture she's making for the so-and-so company. That's not fair to the company that sells Miss So-and-so. She's a product of theirs. And after you finish knocking that, then we hear on your program, please, folks, buy finger snappers, umbrella covers, or whatever you happen to be selling. The shots you've just heard, folks, were three marshmallows. Jimmy, that's for being so sweet on your program last week. And now we come to Junior, little Sidney Scalzi. Sidney, I can't write you an open letter, son, because it'd be too heavy for you to lift. So I'm writing this on the back of a little postage stamp, Sidney. You always finish with, quote, don't get me wrong, I love Hollywood, end quote. Well, Sidney, don't you get Hollywood wrong. It isn't fair to a great industry for you to give national prominence to anyone who writes you such a criticism as this. In a picture I saw last night, the leading man walked into a house with a brown suit and came out later with a gray one, a movie boner. Sidney, this is the most educated country on the face of the earth, and 99 9/10 of the people have the intelligence to realize that the camera can't follow the man into the house while he changes his suit. We must also take for granted that he has shaved, brushed his teeth, and performed other personal functions, such as combing his hair, taking a bath, etc. So you should not say, quote, this is a movie boner, end quote. And remember, Sidney, and this goes for all of you fellas in the racket, a little tolerance is perhaps protection to yourselves. You know you're all going to appear in pictures. Oh, sure you are. Every commentator that comes out to Hollywood has a typewriter in one hand and a makeup box in the other. Oh, sure. You'll be in the picture soon yourself. And let's hope that when you first flash on the screen, the same people whose letters you print won't say, look, Mama, it's a movie boner. That little squeak, that was for you, Sonny, and I'm also sending you a finger bowl for a swimming pool. Now, I can't pantages very much. That sounds funny, but I can. But listen, Lordy Porty Poo, you're just starting a new program, and I, for one, know how hard that is, because you're on pretty early. I'll never forget the first radio broadcast I did, 6 o'clock in the morning, singing lullabies to the gamblers. It was a tough thing. But take it from me, Lordy, because I've been around a long, long time, and you can do more good building things up than tearing them down. Try to develop your sense of humor instead of your sense of rumor. And remember, it's because of the good things in Hollywood, my boy, that you have your job on the air. So like my grandfather, peace be with him, always said, don't bite the hand that lays the golden egg. I'm giving you two pickles, and they're just too divoon, Lordy. Folks, this is Jessel, who notices that even though opportunity only knocks once, the Hollywood commentators go on forever. Hello, Mom? Are you listening? What, Willie's making too much noise? You didn't hear much? Oh, but you heard enough to know that for once in my life, I'm on the right side. Well, goodbye, Mom. Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen.
George Jessel's 30 Minutes in Hollywood brought to you the sensational St. Brendan's Choristers under the direction of Bob Mitchell and the guest appearance of Ralph Byrd, creator on the screen of the famous detective character Dick Tracy. Join us again in George Jessel's office next week. The doors will be open at 3 p.m. You will hear that world-famous star, Buck Jones, by courtesy of Coronet Pictures. Also, a return engagement of the St. Brendan Choristers. Brought to you direct from Hollywood through facilities of the Don Lee Network.
Heard on this program was a selection Yankee Doodle Band from Life of the Party. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.